Part of the chapter that I'd like to focus on is beginning in verse number 22, where the Bible reads, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" And the title of my sermon this morning is, "If the light in thee be darkness." If the light in thee be darkness. Flip over, if you would, to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter 11. While you're turning there, I'll read for you the famous passage from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, where the Bible reads, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Look down at your Bible there in Luke 11, verse 33. "No man, when he had lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." So what's being illustrated here is the fact that light dispels darkness. If there's a light that shines in a dark place, then the whole thing will be filled with light. And even just a light as small as a candle can light up a room. If it's put up on a candlestick, it can give light unto all that are in the house. Because light, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 2:13, light excelleth darkness. It says, "I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness." You see, light and darkness can't both coexist. When the light shines, it dispels the darkness. It gets rid of the darkness. And it only takes a little bit of light to dispel a lot of darkness. Now, the Bible says that we are the light of the world. Now, Jesus Christ said, "As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." But he's no longer in the world. And he says unto us as Christians, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You see, we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. But the Bible warns, you know, if the light that's in us be darkness, how great is that darkness? And if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? If we as Christians do not have the good works that we're supposed to have, and if we don't let our light shine, then the light that's in Arizona is darkness, and how great will that darkness be in our state, or in our city, or in our nation? In the United States of America, every church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ and that preaches the King James Bible is a light. If we could look down with a spiritual viewpoint, we'd see all these lights all over the United States of America, where Bible-believing Christians are, or where Bible-preaching churches are. But if those lights put the light under a bushel, then how great is that darkness? Now, the point of the sermon today is that it doesn't take a lot of light in order to illuminate that which is darkness. It would only take a few Christians, a few churches, to really put that light up on a candlestick and shine it in order to dispel the darkness. You see, the problem today in America, the problem in Arizona, the problem in the city of Phoenix is not with the atheists or the Muslims or the Hindus or whatever. It's with God's people. It's with the Christians. You can't blame the darkness. The darkness is just being darkness. We need to blame the light that's being put under a bushel. That's the real problem. Christians are the problem, not the unsaved, not the atheists and agnostics and whatever other style of non-believer. Go, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is one of the most famous verses in the whole Bible. You hear this preached a lot in churches all over the place. And this verse really shows us that it's God's people that are the problem, and it's God's people who can fix the problem in a nation. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So the person who can provide a solution for our nation today is none other than one of God's people, which are called by God's name. They are the ones who need to get right with God. They are the ones that need to change. They need to humble themselves, pray, and seek God's face. And I think most Christians in America would agree with those three things and talk a lot about those three things and preach a lot about those three things. But it also says that they need to turn from their wicked ways. And this is where we lose 90-some percent of Christians today. They don't want to turn from their wicked ways. They want to live a life that's just like the world plus Jesus. They don't want to be transformed. They want to be conformed to this world. And today, Christianity is in a sorry state, and that is why evil is taking over and why the darkness is creeping across our land and spreading across the face of even our state here in Arizona, where the darkness spreads as the lights are covered. And it's not that the light doesn't exist. I mean, every single person who's saved is a light. It's just that that light is being hid under a bushel where you can't even recognize it as light because there are no good works to speak of. There's no turning from their wicked way to speak of. And in fact, when the Bible says that people are putting the light under a bushel, and that if the light that's in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? The next thing he says is no man can serve two masters. For either he'll love the one or hate the other, or else hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. See, the problem is with people not loving the Lord, but loving mammon, loving money, loving the things of this world, and then their light doesn't shine like it should. Their light is under a bushel. It's hidden. You know, today when you talk to Christians, they are just as messed up as the world usually on their opinions, on their views, on their lifestyle. There's not enough of a difference today between Christians and the unsaved. That's the problem. So the light that's in us is darkness. And how great is that darkness? Why? Because a candle that's under a bushel might as well not even be there as far as giving light unto those that are around it. Now look, that person's still saved. That person's still going to heaven. They've got Jesus Christ in their heart. They've got that light in their heart. But because they're hiding it, it doesn't help anyone else. It doesn't illuminate those around them. It's great that you're saved and that you're going to heaven, but you need to take that light that's inside of you, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, and you need to put that on display. You need to put that up on a candlestick. You need to shine that to other people. Tell other people how to be saved. And then not only just how to be saved, but show them how to live a godly life. Show them that example. The Great Commission is to teach all nations. Obviously, we're to preach the gospel to every creature. But then it's to baptize them. And then it's to teach them to observe all things whatsoever Christ commanded us. That's the job. Here in Arizona, in the United States, and under the uttermost part of the earth. Go, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 2. While you're turning to Philippians chapter 2, I'll read for you from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Look at chapter 2, verse 14 there in Philippians. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We're to shine our light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're to be blameless and harmless. We're to do things without murmurings and dispute. That's talking about the way that we live our life. So the way that we live our life, our good works are what shine the light to those around us. The Bible says, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, works don't save you. You can be totally saved without works. But if you're saved by believing in Jesus Christ and you don't have any works, then your light is under a bushel this morning. Unless people can look at you and see the good works, if they could look at you and see that light shining of doing all things without murmurings, disputings, blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, we need to have that good testimony that people can see a difference in our lives and the lives of the people around us. But today, there's very little difference. You know, my wife is on social media and she's on some Facebook groups. She's on a Facebook group called Christian Homeschoolers. Now, wouldn't you expect that to be one of the most conservative elements of Arizona or of the United States? I mean, not just Christian, but Christian homeschoolers. I mean, these are people who at least recognize that the public school system is teaching a lot of godless things, a lot of atheism, and a lot of perversion and wickedness. So they've actually taken another step of saying, we're going to take the responsibility to educate our own children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're Christian homeschoolers. And then she was in another group called, what was it, Large Family Christian Homeschoolers? I mean, that's taking it even a step further. Not only are they a Christian homeschooler, but they have a bunch of kids that they're Christian homeschooling. Wouldn't you expect to think, this is going to be a pretty conservative element. This is going to be the light that should shine in the darkness. But you should see, she's constantly showing me stuff on there that is just mind-blowing. Where people are, like some woman posted on there about how her husband's such a jerk because he goes to work and he expects her to do the housework. And he tells her, hey, you don't come to my job and help me. So it's not my job to be forced to help you with your job. Like, I have my job, you have your job. I bring home the bacon, you take care of the house. And she's just on there, can you believe this? And then just every single comment, just comment after comment after comment, just saying like, oh, you're so right. You got to put him in his place. And she said that she was practicing like a civil disobedience where she's just refusing to get out of bed and making him take care of the baby and the toddler. Then she updates on there a few hours later like, oh, yeah, I'm drinking my coffee. I'm chilling out. Now, yeah, he had to step up to the plate because I just refused to work, she said. She just refused to get out of bed, refused to do any work to force her husband to do the work. And all these godly Christian homeschoolers, what about where the Bible says that wives are to obey their husband? What about where the Bible said that wives are to submit themselves unto their own husband as unto the Lord? And look, I think it's great if a husband wants to help his wife out and give her a hand, but to sit there and demand that your husband be your helper and force him to help you and to just be an open rebellion and defiance of your husband, that is wrong. That is wicked. And you know what? God did ordain that men go out and work and that women take care of the house. And that is their responsibility. And if a husband wants to help, great. But if a wife is demanding that her husband... No. God created the woman as a help for the man.
Right.
Oh, I can't believe I'm hearing this. But that's what the Bible says.
Right.
And you'll never find anything contrary to that in the Bible. You can start in Genesis and go to Revelation, and you'll never find this thing where, hey, if your husband doesn't do enough of your chores, if he doesn't help you out enough, throw a fit, throw a tantrum. And then not only is this woman being so wicked to openly defy her husband and rebel against her husband, but then she turns around and just goes on social media and just proclaims that to the world. I mean, she's ragging on her husband in front of the whole world. She's ripping on her husband on the World Wide Web. And then not only that, but she's poisoning the minds of all these other wives and mothers to think, yeah, why do I do all the work around here? Yeah, he's got a point. He's, you know, it's wicked. But this is what you'd expect to find on some feminist group, right? Some, you know, liberal Democrats occupy living rooms or occupy kitchen or, you know, whatever. You'd expect it to be some kind of a left-wing, atheistic, godly. But no, this is a Christian homeschooling thing. And it's constantly like that. People are talking about how bad their wife is, how bad their husband is. And everybody's like, oh, you need to get away from him. You need to divorce him. You need to leave him and blah, blah, blah. Just all the godless, wrong advice you'd expect from the world, telling people to leave their wife, leave their husband, all this junk. And then it's just one thing after, what was the other thing on the group? There was something else that was real weird on there. Yeah, and then one person said, like, hey, you know, I'm concerned that yoga might be Hindu. You know, you think? Or, hey, I think it might be pagan or New Age. And it's just hundreds of people like, no, it's totally fine. It's absolutely okay. You know, which, of course, you look up the word yoga in a dictionary, it'll tell you it's from the Sanskrit meaning to yoke or union. And that is union with their false god. Yoking with it. Grab one of those Truth About Hinduism DVDs off the back shelf if you're wondering about that. And look, I can understand how, you know, people can be mixed up in things through ignorance. They don't really know what it's about and what they're into. But it's just amazing that just nobody's telling the truth. And then if one person says, hey, you know, yoga is part and parcel of Hinduism, transcendental meditation is demonic, then it's just everybody else, how dare you, and just pile on, just, you're judgmental. But these are the Christian homeschoolers today. And it's like that just with any issue. And then when it comes to the issue of the sodomites, the Christians are worse on it than an unbeliever. Yeah. I mean, even unbelievers will say, oh, man, bunch of faggots, you know. Yeah. But it's like the Christians are just like, oh, we got to treat them well, have them over to our houses and bring them into the church. Yeah, exactly. They're not invited for Memorial Day? No? So the point is that, you know, today, the light that is in us has become darkness. Now, you know, speaking of the sodomites, while we're on that subject, there's these billboards all over Phoenix. I think you're the one who pointed that out, Brother Sean Barnes pointed that out, how there's all these billboards all over Phoenix promoting the sodomite agenda. So, he pointed that out to me. So I typed in the website that they're all pointed to. OpenAZ was the website, or OpenAZ.com, I believe it was. So I type in that website, and I go on there, and here's the first thing I read. And man, did it bring joy to my heart. I'm not kidding. It warmed my heart. It made me feel good about the state of Arizona. And you know, I love Arizona for a lot of reasons. But this website gave me another reason to love Arizona. This is the first thing it said on the website. Arizona's current non-discrimination laws are not inclusive of sexual orientation and gender identity. Meaning that it's still not illegal to fire someone, deny them housing, or refuse them service simply for who they are or who they love. Translation, you can say no homos in Arizona. Isn't that great? I saw that. I was like, praise the Lord. You say, well, why do you care? Because, look, sodomites, homos, they have an agenda to try to come into churches now. And they'll come in cross-dressed, and they want to sit down right in the front row just to poison your children's minds, just so that they look at that and see that. I mean, they flat out said that last June when Brother Roger Jimenez, God bless him, was under fire in Sacramento, California at Verity Baptist Church, and he had all the protesters. They literally played on the evening news where the sodomites said, we're going to hold up these pictures, these images of a couple of dudes kissing, and he said, we want children to see these images. They're playing this on the news. And they're playing this guy as the good guy. Jimenez is the bad guy. And they say, we want the children of the families who are coming into the church to have to see these images that seeds might be planted in their minds. That's what these sick people. So look, don't you for one second try to tell me, oh, we got to bring in these sodomites so that they can get saved. Hey, number one, they're reprobate. That's number right. one, okay? They're doomed.
Yeah.
But number two, and that's another sermon. But number two is we're to go out and get people saved anyway. The church is not a place predominantly to get people saved. The church is an assembly of born-again, baptized believers. Who here knows for sure you're going to heaven? Put up your hand. You're already saved. Okay, this doesn't look like a great place to go soul winning because it looks like almost everybody's already saved. I mean, it's going to take you a while to find one that's not. That's a rough soul winning field. We're supposed to go out into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. But they say, oh, we got to bring in the sodomites. And they're so dumb, they don't get it, that the sodomites don't want to come to church because they love the Lord. Right. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 that they're haters of God. The men with men and the women with women, it says they are haters of God. So then why would a hater of God come to church? It's not to learn the Bible. It's not because they love the Lord. It's not because they want to worship Jesus Christ. No, actually, they want to come here to push their agenda. Because to them, to the sodomite, his religion is sodomy. I mean, they're an activist. It's what they live for. They push it every time they can. So they want to come and just force their way into churches in order to pollute the minds of our children, gain access to children. And, you know, no restroom is safe with these people around either. I don't care whether they're going in the men's room or the ladies' room. No restroom is safe. All these churches that are bringing all these fairies in, they better make every bathroom a single stall. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, they're just inviting pedophiles into the church is what they're doing. But the reason this is so important is that in Arizona, we can still say no homos allowed. But what happened? But these people are on a campaign right now. I mean, the billboards are up right now. They're pushing this right now to do away with this. And then you know what's going to happen? These bunch of sodomites, and they've already tried it, where the sodomites will try to force their way into our church. And you know what we do? We pick them up and throw them out.
Right.
I have personally hurled several of them out that door, personally. And others in the church have hurled them out the door. And we look, all we have to do legally is to ask them nicely to leave twice, and then we take them out like a bouncer takes people out of a bar, and it's totally legal. It's a disturbance to us. I find their very existence disturbing. So therefore, you know, they're trying to push it to where now we would have to embrace them. But listen, we never will. Make no mistake. I'm not saying, oh, man, it's too bad because someday they're going to force us to let... No, they'll never. It'll be over my dead body.
Amen.
It'll be over my dead body. And you look, you play this tape back to me 10 years from now, 20 years from now, they will never be allowed in this church, ever,
Amen.
As long as I'm the pastor. And if you want to bring in a bunch of sodomites into the church, go ahead and vote me out or throw me out or do whatever, because it's me or them. I can't coexist in the house of God with reprobates, sodomites, not happening. But this is a big deal, you know, that where they're trying to push it, where all the bakeries and all the restaurants and all the churches and everybody would have to do business with them, would have to deal with them. And here's what they said on this website. Well, discrimination's bad for business. What was that motivation for the light in us being darkness again? Oh, yeah, the love of money. Not loving God, but loving mammon. You know what? I don't care if it's bad for business, then let's have a bad business.
Yeah.
I'd rather have less money and not have to have perverts in the church. Well, and then it gives example. Tourism is Arizona's greatest export. How do you export tourism? That's stupid. They come to look. What are we? Are we sending out chunks of the Grand Canyon all over America? That's ridiculous. You come here to do tourism. That's not an export. Tourism is Arizona's greatest export. Sadly, we're missing out on opportunities to showcase and grow our industry because we can't offer equal protections for all who come here. And it shows a couple of fags looking at the Grand Canyon. That's what it showed. Okay, reputation. I mean, you want to talk about calling good evil and evil good. You want to talk about the light that is in us being darkness? Reputation. We have a bad reputation in Arizona because we don't embrace sodomy. That's what they're saying. Without an update to our statewide non-discrimination laws to protect all people, we risk additional discriminatory measures and legislation that will further damage Arizona's reputation. You know, I'm proud of Arizona's reputation. I think Arizona is the best state. Don't come and tell me how great Texas is. No offense, our visitors from Texas. But, you know, people from Texas are obsessed with Texas, and it's just like, ah, Texas. You know, I'm not down on Texas this morning, but Arizona's better. I'm just going to come right out and say it. Look, I could have started this church anywhere. I moved here because I love Arizona. I love everything about it. I love the weather. I love the scenery. I love all the recreation. And look, it's not all just desert, obviously. But I even like the part of it that's desert. I like the Sonoran Desert. I like Phoenix. I love the palm trees. I love the hot weather all year round. I love it. We're just getting into summer. I'm enjoying it. I like it to heat up. I don't mind. And, you know, you can drive an hour and a half and you're to all these forests and rivers and just beautiful places. And, you know, we like to do a lot of outdoor stuff as a family. And we go all over the state and it's like you can't see all of it. I mean, we've gone on so many day trips. We have whole books and we check them off like a check. You can't even see everything. You can't even do everything in Arizona. There's so much to do here. It's a really cool state. But the coolest thing about it is that it's a state that has almost more freedom than any other state. Let's keep it that way. Why would we let these bunch of commies and leftists, you know, ruin our state to where it becomes just some liberal paradise where everybody has to just embrace all this weird cultural Marxism and sodomites and all the weird, you know, we need to take a stand about this stuff. You know, if churches all over Arizona would preach against this thing and get up and cry out and say, hey, no homos law. But the sad thing is that if I were to pick up the phone and call all the Baptist church in Arizona, they wouldn't answer. But anyway, if someone else were to call all these Baptist pastors all over Arizona and ask them, hey, do you guys discriminate against homos or are they allowed? Sure, come on in. But that's the problem. And then you wonder why these kind of look, I don't think there's anybody in this room, even if you disagree with me, and I know there are people in this room that think I'm a little over the top in my you know, hatred of sodomites and my hard preaching. I get that. But you know what? I bet you that everybody in this room agrees that this law is a bad law, forcing people to do business with sodomites that don't want to. I mean, come on, are you serious? You really think that restaurants and bakeries and gas should be forced to just allow transvestites to just come in and just act like they're normal? No, you don't want to be around that any more than I do, even if you disagree with my preaching. Nobody wants that. Okay, but how do you expect the world to uphold freedom and uphold liberty in our state when even the churches are saying, come on in? Even the churches have a statement of faith that says you can't discriminate against sodomites. I mean, look, even Paul Chappell's church, I named the name, over in Lancaster, California, which a lot of the Baptist churches in our area look to him as their leader. They look to him as their, you know, role model. It says right on his church, Lancaster Baptist Church statement of faith, that you have to treat homos nicely when they come to church. And that if anyone is disrespectful to them, that they're in violation of the, you know, and that they'll penalize their employees if they're disrespectful or rude to a homo. It says that in their statement of faith. And everybody calls me a liar, and I just, here's the link, and copy and paste and show it to them. And then they're like, well, okay, but I don't think that's what he meant. But that's what it says. It flat out says that. And it even goes beyond homos. They say it's also for pedophiles and incest and bestiality and everything else. You can't even be rude to someone in his church who practices bestiality. That's what it says in their statement of faith, and I've proven it ad nauseum. And you show it to people and show it to them and show it to them, and they just, they just won't listen. Well, you know what? That's a big problem. And then you wonder why this kind of legislation even makes it to first base. Look, this dumb thing's going to pass unless we stand up to it. And you say, well, what are you saying? Are you saying we should organize some political campaign? No, absolutely not. The political process doesn't work in this country. I have zero interest in ballot initiatives and propositions and voting. No. You know what we need to do? We need to shine this light in our state. And the darkness will flee away, and all the cockroaches will scamper back into the darkness where they came from. That's what's going on. The answer is to win people to Christ in this state. If we can win thousands and thousands and thousands of people to the Lord in the state of Arizona and get the Holy Spirit indwelling thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the state of Arizona, and then if we can preach hard against sin and preach the Word of God and teach those people to observe all things that Christ commanded, we can keep our state a nice place to live in for us and our families, where we can raise a godly family. It's possible. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Anderson, we're never going to get a majority. I mean, we're not going to win 3 million, 6.5 million people in our state. We're not going to win 3.75 million people to the Lord and get 3.75 million people right with God. But here's the thing, it doesn't take 3.75 million people to dispel the darkness. That's like saying you'd have to light half of a room on fire in order to give light unto that room. All you need is a few candlesticks. All you need is a few $10 torch lamps from IKEA or whatever, strategically placed, you can light up that whole place. Why? It doesn't take much, folks, but we have to let that light shine. And when churches believe right and they have the right doctrine, but then they won't proclaim it publicly, they're putting their light under a bushel. And darkness prevails. Darkness prevails. Now, one candle is not enough to light the entire state of Arizona, unfortunately, because Arizona is a big place. But we need churches all over Arizona, and we need individual Christians all over Arizona to model a godly life, to model Christianity, to model a life that's based on the Word of God, and to be different than the world around them, and to shine that light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And we could light this place up and keep it as a place where we would want to live. And God's hand of judgment could be stayed, if not upon our entire nation, at least upon our state of Arizona. But would to God, people would stand up for what's right all over America. You see, most people in America and in Arizona don't really care about these issues. It's only a few people who care. And if they stand up and make their voice heard and preach loud about it and thunder forth the truth and go out and knock every door with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can make a difference. Amen. We can make a difference. We can shine the light in our state, if not in our entire nation. If you would, go to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says in John 3:20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God." See, we want Arizona to have a bad reputation to sodomites and weirdos, because then they won't want to come here. They'll be like, well, I don't want to go to Arizona. They're too Christian there. They're too conservative. They're too libertarian. You know, they're too... They don't have any laws to protect me from, openly displaying my perversion in every business and demanding Christians to serve me. It'll be a cold day in hell before I serve the enemies of God.
That's right.
But they say, well, it's got a bad reputation. Good. And you know what? I want our church to have that same bad reputation. Yeah. Oh, you're giving your church a bad reputation amongst the haters of the Lord? Good.
Yeah.
Then it'll be a safer place for our children. Yeah, but you're turning away good people. Well, you know what? If I turn away a few good people, so be it. Go to the Baptist church down the street. There's plenty of other independent. There's 40 independent Baptist churches in Phoenix. 40, not 14, 40 that are King James preaching. King James only. 40 in the greater Phoenix area. So you know what? Nobody's forcing you to be here. You got plenty of options. But you know what? If I can keep all the perverts and sodomites out, it's worth it to me to keep a few other softies out too. Whatever. Let them go down the street. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death is light is sprung up." You know, I don't think that Jesus got half the people saved or more than half the people saved, but just the fact that he went there and preached the word of God to everybody in that region, to everybody on those coasts, he preached the word of God to everybody, he got the gospel, that lit that place up. And the Bible said they sat in darkness, but now they've seen a great light. You know, back to our church's reputation, go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter number 5. This isn't in my notes, but it popped into my mind. And now I can't find the verse I was looking for. Somebody help me out. Garrett, help me out. The rest of the people durst not join themselves unto them. Where are we at? Somebody find it for me. Somebody do a little search on the phone. What is it? 5:13. There it is. Okay. Yeah, look what the Bible says. It says in verse 11, "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst," what does durst mean? It means they dared not. That's the past tense of the word dare. "They durst not join themselves and of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the church." No, not necessarily, but believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. And of course, many people were added to the church as well. But you know what? It's more important that we add people to the Lord than to add people to the church. You know what I mean? Because if we can get people saved, even if they never come to church, praise God that they've been saved. I mean, that's the most important thing, is that they're going to heaven, not that they come to our church. If they go to a different church, so what? At least they're going to heaven. That's the main thing. And you know what? Our church is a Book of Acts style church. And people can say whatever they want, but we have daily soul winning, just like the early church in the Book of Acts. Now, I'm not saying that I go out every day, and I'm not saying that anybody in this church goes out every day, although there are a few who do go out every day. But what I'm saying is that there are people from our church out every single day winning people to the Lord 365 days a year. We have 11 official soul winning times, a lot of unofficial soul winning times. Soul winning goes on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And so much soul winning goes on those days that there's actually somebody getting saved on each of those days. I mean, there's not a day that goes by. I can't even remember the last time we had a day where no one got saved as a result of the works of our congregation here. Okay, but our church is out there preaching the gospel daily in the temple and in every house. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. That's found in this chapter, Acts chapter 5, verse 42. It's printed on that window right there in cursive lettering. That's a theme verse for our church, Acts 5:42. And you'll see here that there's a lot of hard preaching going on. Obviously, the apostles were given the ability by Jesus to perform miracles, and they performed miracles. And a lot of people marveled at the preaching. They marveled at the miracles. They marveled at the soul winning. And a lot of people were added to the Lord. A lot of people are getting saved. But notice that there are a lot of people who were just scared to join himself unto them. Do you see that? They durst not join himself unto them. But the people magnified them. What does that mean? That means people are looking at them saying, wow, they're doing a great job. They're doing some good stuff. But they're like, I'm not going to go down there. Isn't that what it's saying? Because he's saying they won't join themselves to them, but they'll magnify them. You know, it's so amazing to me. Sometimes I'll go on the statistics of our church website and see that there are literally thousands of people. If you go on YouTube or go on the church website, that there are thousands and thousands of people in Arizona who listen to my sermon like every week. Where are they? I mean, it's a good thing they don't all come at once or we wouldn't be able to fit them in the building. And I run into people all the time that I've never seen at church. Oh, I loved your sermon last Sunday. Oh, yeah, we listen to your sermons all the time. We listen to your sermons all the time. Look, you say, oh, people are afraid. Some people are literally afraid to come here. But you know what? So be it. They were afraid to go to the church in the book of Acts, too. You know, if somebody's afraid to come here, maybe they don't belong here. You know what I mean? And look, I'm not interested in having to get a bigger building and knock down more. You know, we just knocked down a bunch of walls. And look, I'll be glad to knock down another wall. If we could bring in some real servants of the Lord, bring in some people that actually want to go soul winning, that actually want to do something, that actually want to hear good preaching. But just to bring in a bunch of people who want to just live like the world and have their ears tickled and they want to contribute nothing and they want to do, then what's the point? You might as well stay home and listen to the live stream and eat chips off your chest. But you know what? You're the one that's not right with God, because God commanded you not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And you know what? People need to step up and get in church and get involved and get serious about it. But you know what? I'm glad if we have a reputation that says, oh man, don't go into that church dressed all effeminate and metro. Somebody might think that you're a sodomite and throw you out if you come in all metroed out and cross-dressed. And you know, Brother Baker threw out some guy like a month ago that looked all cross-dressed, or he had a purse and he looked all queer looking and acted queer, and you know, the guys, you know, acting like that Brother Baker's all off base and that Brother Baker was totally wrong and I'm totally straight. You know what? It's 2017. Don't come into this church looking like a queer, right, period. Right. Well, good. Great minds think alike. You know, in 2017 America, don't you come into this church dressing like a queer, looking all faggoty, and then get mad when somebody calls you out and says, hey, wait a minute, are you really a servant of the Lord, or are you just here to try to infiltrate our church as the sodomites have done many times? I don't mind having that reputation. I don't mind our church having that reputation. You know what? If this light is too bright for people, and they can then go down to the Penumbra Baptist Church down the street, or down to Shady Nook Baptist. You know, if you come to this church, you better want to have the light shine. But you know, a lot of people, their deeds are so evil, they don't like to get anywhere around hard Bible preaching because it shines the light on too many of their sins. But we need the churches of America to be bright, shining lights. And if it's too blinding for some people, well, then so be it. But that's what God has called us to be. And you know what? Peter didn't say, well, I better start toning things down because people are scared to come. He just said, no, let's fire it up. Let's preach harder, and we'll go out, and they won't have to come because we'll go knock on their door and give them the gospel. Yeah. It's not look, shining the light too bright does not prevent people from getting saved. I'll tell you that right now. It might prevent losers from coming to church, but it's not going to stop people from being saved. We're having more people saved in this church than we've ever had in the history of our church. More people are out soul winning. More people are hearing the gospel for the first time than ever in the history of our church. And the preaching is just as hard as it's ever been, and it's not going to be toned down. Amen. Discrimination's bad for business. Not when you're about the Father's business. Amen. Then discrimination's a command at that point. Gender identity, orientation, sodomites. It's all over. It's billboards everywhere. Why doesn't somebody take out a billboard with some biblical preaching on against that sin? But we'll do better than that, because we'll go knock everybody's door give them the gospel, get them saved, put a King James Bible in their hand, and give them some CDs and DVDs of preaching, and get them down here, and they'll get some preaching that'll be a lot more powerful than their billboard ever thought of being. But why? See, here's the thing. Lies, it's so easy to destroy lies with the truth. You can hear a lie 100 times and hear the truth 1 time, and the one truth will cut through all the lies. Why? Because wisdom excelleth folly like light excels darkness. That's why. Look, if you would, at Titus chapter 2, toward the end of the New Testament. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. What's the title of the sermon? If the light that is in thee be darkness. We have too many secret service Christians. Too many Christians that they have the light. And I'm not questioning whether they have the light in them. I'm saying that that light's under a bushel because they're living exactly like the world around them. They give opinions exactly like the world. Or whenever they have a righteous opinion, they keep it to themselves. They never speak up and say, you know, everybody's at work saying, oh man, you know, we gotta push this homo agenda. You know, they don't even just speak up and say, well, I'm against it. I mean, one time I was in an office cubicle and this short-haired woman was going around and promoting this proposition that was all about sodomites and she's telling everybody, and everybody's just silent, and they're kind of just like, you could tell they didn't really agree with it, but they were acting like they did. But she's just so vocal and open, and she comes to me and says, because I was a visiting vendor, you know, this is one of my customers, and she came up to me and she's like, what about you, Steve? Are you going to vote yes on this thing? And I said, which way is yes? Is that for or against the homos? Which one is yes? Because I'm going to vote whichever way is against the homos. And she's just like, oh, stop that. Like, and I'm like, no, I'm actually serious. And then like 5 people that were standing around were like, yeah, me too. I don't believe in that stuff. I'm not kidding. They're like, yeah, me too, you know. One of them's like, yeah, I'm Catholic or something. I don't believe in that. Another person's like, yeah, I don't believe in it either. Yeah, I'm not for that stuff either. But see, one person had to say it first. And then the whole thing comes crashing down, and then everybody starts piping up. You know what I mean? But it takes that one person to just spark that light, right? And light that candle, and then other people are just like, oh, you know, let me put my candle up on that candlestick too. Look what the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 9. It says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. That means not talking back. Answering again is like back talk from employees. Not purloining. Purloining means to steal things on the job. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So we're saved by grace, but after we're saved by grace, God commands us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's salvation. And purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So God doesn't just want us to get saved. He doesn't just want to redeem us from all iniquity. He also wants to purify unto himself a peculiar people. What does peculiar mean? Different, unique. A peculiar people zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. What does zealous mean? It means to be fired up, excited, motivated. So he's saying, look, I want you to be different than the world around you, and I want you to be really fired up and excited to go do good works. Those are the two things. Abstaining from that which is bad and indulging in that which is good and being zealous toward good works. Purify a peculiar people. So we're to be purified, meaning cleansed of sin, iniquity, filth, garbage in our lives. We should be different from the people around us. People should get to know us and say, wow, you're different. You're a lot different. People from Faith Forward Baptist Church are a lot different than the other people in this area or the other people in the state or other churches. Now, not because we dress in some weird clothes, some outward show of being different. Not because we do something weird or strange or have some weird patch that we wear. No. The thing that's peculiar is that we're living a pure life. The thing that stands out is living a godly life. The thing that stands out is the zeal for good works. It's our actions, not our appearance. It's our actions that should look dramatically different where they see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. But when you see Christians having the same exact viewpoints, the same exact opinions, the same exact divorce rate, the same exact rate of pregnancy out of wedlock, the same rates of getting fired from their job, the same rates of drunkenness or adultery, or you know, what? That's the light in us being darkness. That's when the darkness prevails. Look, if every person who were saved, forget the people that aren't saved for a second, because they're not the problem. That's just unsaved people being unsaved. If just people that are saved right now, if every person in Arizona who is truly saved, truly born again, has the Holy Spirit living inside them, if just those who are saved would start to live right and let their light shine and preach the gospel to every creature, and shine the light of the glorious gospel and have a testimony that's different and peculiar, this billboard would be unthinkable. Yeah. It would turn the whole state around. Even though the majority of people in Arizona aren't saved, it doesn't take a majority. It just takes enough people to shine enough light to dispel the darkness. And it only takes a minority that's peculiar, that's zealous and righteous. Look, I don't think that 51% of people in America have ever been saved. Broad's the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I don't think there was ever a time in this country where the majority of people were saved. But there was a time in this country where there were enough saved people who loved the Lord and preached the Bible and preached the truth and stood up for what was right, that it was enough salt to preserve this country. Amen. I mean, does it have to be, you know, how much salt do you have to put on the meat to preserve it? It doesn't have to be majority salt and minority meat, right? You just need enough salt to preserve it, to spread it all over so that every part of the meat is salted. That's how much you need. And how much light do you need? Enough to where every corner of the room is lit, is illuminated. How many godly Christians do you need? Enough to knock every door in Arizona with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Enough to where every single person hears the truth preached. And not just the gospel, not just the plan of salvation. That's not enough. We need the plan of salvation and baptism, and we need to teach all things that Christ taught. We don't just need a bunch of churches that are doing a bunch of soul winning, but they won't rip on the subject of the sodomites, or they won't rip on drunkenness, fornication, adultery, or whatever else. We need churches that will preach hard against sin, because it's not going to do any good if we go out soul winning and light all these candles all over Arizona and they're all under a bushel, all of them. Is that going to light the place up? No, but it all starts with lighting that candle. That's first base. You know, the first step is to get people saved. So you never go wrong by getting somebody saved. Amen?
Amen.
You never go wrong by preaching somebody the gospel and getting them saved. But what we do is we get somebody saved, right? That's where we light that candle from the light of the gospel. We have that torch burning inside of us, and then we preach the gospel to them, get them saved. Now they've got the light of Christ in their heart. So now their candle is lit, but our next job after we've lit their candle is to say to all the people with lit candles, all right, everybody, let's get that candle out from under the bushel and let's get it up on a candlestick. That's what we're doing. What am I preaching on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? I'm trying to get you that are already saved. You've already got your candle, and I want you to get that thing and put it up on a candlestick. That's the goal. And when I preach against this sin or that sin, or tell you to do this good work or that good work, that's what I'm trying to accomplish as a preacher, is just to try to get people to let their light shine. Amen. And I'm telling you, if a whole bunch of Christians, even the ones who are already saved, would take that candle and put it up on a candlestick, this state would be so bright. it would be so lit up. Because so many people are just passive and neutral that if the Christians would just shine their light so bright, you know what? It would cause this state to be seen as a godly place, as a Christian place. And wicked people wouldn't even want to come here. They wouldn't even want to live here. They'd want to just go somewhere else. Or they'd keep their wickedness to themselves and they wouldn't influence as many people. They definitely wouldn't be buying a billboard about it, promoting their sickness, their disease of filth. So we need to let our light shine so that people can see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Jesus said, I'm come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. God wants us to live in the light. He wants us to light other lights all over by winning people to Christ. And then he wants us and the people that we win to the Lord to get that candle up on a candlestick so that we can light this place up. And, you know, I want to live in Arizona. I love Arizona. I want to live here until I die. You know, I don't want to go anywhere else. You know, it could get to a point, though, where if our state got so evil and so wicked where you'd have to go somewhere else. If the police are coming and just forcing transvestites into our service, right? I mean, you think I'm just going to stay and go along with that? I wouldn't do that. Or if it got to the point where we just can't go anywhere, we can't walk down the street, we can't even exist here without just constantly being surrounded by sodomites and weirdos everywhere we turn, it could get to a point where it gets so bad where I would leave and go somewhere else. But let me tell you something. I want to stay here until I die. And I believe that we can shine the light enough to where we can at least leave Arizona to our children at least as good as we found it. At least we can leave it to them. Like, we can live here now and we have peace and we can raise our families and we're safe and it's legal for us to exercise our religion, right? Amen? Yeah. I mean, we can freely who's been arrested here for exercising your religion? I mean, we have freedom, right? Isn't it a blessing? I mean, in Arizona, we can protect our families, we can live a godly life, we can raise our children, we're allowed to homeschool, we can discipline them when they need it, we can go to church, we can preach what we want, we can say no homos allowed. I just want to pass that on to my children. I don't want them to have to go live in some dumb place. I want them to live in Arizona, the coolest place. So let's be a salt that can preserve Arizona. So that our children can live here too. So that we can continue to live here, our children can live here, and that Faithful Word Baptist Church can still be here 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And look, you don't think there's a faction trying to ruin Arizona? Look at all these billboards. And not only that, I saw something the other day where they say that Tempe scores a 100% on being sodomite-friendly town. You know why they're saying that's not true, but they're saying that because they're trying to attract more sodomites in. Like, we're 100%. Come here, sodomites. I mean, just the fact that Faithful Word Baptist is here should bring you down to a 99. I mean, or lower. If you have to be in the same town with Faithful Word Baptist Church, and you know they're going to knock your door, we knock every door. I mean, having some soul winner from Faithful Word come knock your door, having Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, hundreds of people from Faithful Word living around this area. I mean, some live further out, but a lot of who lives in Tempe? I do. A lot of people live in Tempe. 100%. I want to see how low we can bring that score down. I want to get an F. I mean, think about that. But look, there's a faction that wants to bring in all the sodomites and weirdos. Well, you know what? Faithful Word's going to bring in all the Baptists. You know, some church the other day accused us. This is what they said. Well, because they want to act like our church is tiny all the time. Everybody, yeah, he's running 50 in a storefront. This is what a pastor who attacked us recently said. Which obviously we run about 300 on Sunday mornings. Look around. But he said, hey, he's running 50. So then somebody pointed out, like, they're not running 50, they're running 300. And this is what he said, well, but the only reason the church is growing, he says, it's not because they're reaching people with the gospel. He said it's just growing because weirdos from all over America who hate queers will move there. Now, first of all, why does that make you a weirdo is what I'd like to know, number one. Okay, but, they just moved there and blah, blah. Well, you know what? So what? Good. I hope 1,000 people move here. Turn this place around. Turn Tempe around. And you know what? It's a lie anyway. Let me ask you this. How many people moved here to come to this church? You moved here to come here. Put up your hand. Okay, look around. Now, you know what you'll notice? It's a lot of people, but it's less than half. You see that? Who did not move here to come to this church? Put up your hand. And it's the majority. You see that? So it's a lie anyway. But even if that were true, okay, but let me ask you this. Those who moved here, the ones who moved here, who got saved listening to the preaching from this church or the video? Oh, it's almost everybody who moved here. A lot of them at least. But they're like, oh, he's just stealing people from other churches. Stealing them. I didn't think I owned anybody. And I didn't think that these pastors owned anybody either. Ah, you're a sheep stealer. Well, in order to steal something, wouldn't you have to own it or they'd have to own it? Like what, we just own people? Hey, listen to me. These pastors have to be all protective of their church members. I say there's the door. You know why? Because here's why. If you can't tell the difference, then you might as well go to the other church. But see, they want to force their people and pressure them like, you can't leave. Don't leave. That's creepy.
Yeah.
And they said this. I literally heard a Baptist pastor say this. He said, switching churches is like switching wives. It's like committing adultery. That's what he said. I mean, is that unbelievable? I thought we're all on the same team. If we all believe in Jesus Christ, we all believe the King James Bible, what does it matter? Look, Brother Baker is starting a church in Jacksonville, Florida in August on the 6th is the first service, right? How many people are you taking with you, brother? He's a sheep stealer. He's saying, how many people are you? He's taking like 4 families with him. He's literally, when he moves to Jacksonville to start a church on August 6th, he's taking like 4 families with him. They were like, oh, well, we're moving to Jacksonville to go to his church. And I'm just like, it's adultery. No, you know what I said? I said, great. Amen. 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 Praise God. Why? Because he believes the same stuff we do.
That's right.
He's doing the same works we do. What does it matter if they go here or there? Why does it matter? In fact, every time I hear about a new person going to Jacksonville to be with him, I think it's great. Help them get off to a good start. And you know, our church is growing so fast, our numbers will be right back up by September or October. It's true. Because of all the weirdos that are moving here. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But you know, the bottom line is when you knock 20,000 doors every 2 months, some people are going to show up. I mean, that's just the way it works. And when the light that is in a lot of these states is darkness, yeah, they move to Arizona because they want to bask in the light of God's word. They don't want to go to a church where there's just a little dim, you know, LED or something, a red LED. They're looking for a halogen. They want 1,000,000 candle watts or whatever, candle power. Let's let the light shine out of our church. Let's shine the light so far that people move from other countries and other states because the light's shining so bright. And let's shine the light so bright that Tempe becomes a hub of Christianity and that Arizona is seen as a new Bible Belt. Let Arizona...